So, how are we doing? Difficult? Smile and go through the difficulties. The difficulties are in our mind. They are not in the body. That's why I said, you know, whenever there's difficult, there always seems, nothing seems to go on. I mean, then we take attention or put our attention on the body, you know, on the fingers. They're still there, full, yeah? And then go through the body, you know, and then see, where's the difficulty? I don't know how often I did it because I thought, oh, it's so difficult. Where's the difficulty? And then there's no difficulty because you're interested in suddenly, you know, your interest goes into the body, you know, into feeling the body and the problem disappears. Yeah? Because the problem arises with thinking, you know, with memories, you know, oh, yesterday was better, you know, why is it so difficult now? Huh? I mean, it just arises when there's no thinking, when there's no memory, nothing of this sort arises. That's, you know, I mean, it's a good trick, you know. I mean, we need a lot of tricks, you know, to fight the kilesas, yeah? Because they become cleverer, or they are as clever as we are, or in the beginning they are even more clever than we are. Yeah? So we need to have some tricks. Did you understand what I was talking about this morning?
No.
Some of the monks, did you understand? Tantosten, did you understand? No. Tansira, Tandavid? Tandavid is, yeah, I mean, he's picking up Thai very fast. Yeah? Warren, you understood, huh? Pretty much everything? Yeah, I was. How do you say? I mean, we all, you know, we come from the West, you know, to hear the teachings of the Lord Buddha, yeah? to hear the true teachings of the Lord Buddha, you know, to understand, yeah? And then you come and sometimes you see these Thais, you know, I mean, they have this great fortune of being in a Buddhist country, you know. I mean, learning Buddhism from the moment they are born. Some people, you know, take their newborn kids, you know, to the Sai Ba, to the arms round, you know, and let them put something into the bowl, yeah. I mean, we don't have this fortune, you know. And the Thais always have this fortune, they go to the monastery, they listen to the sermons, you know, or they listen to the teachings of the Lord Buddha, yeah. But then they go back in the world and then forget everything, and then they believe, you know, whatever is, you know, coming out of the TV or the radio, yeah. And then they forget one thing, yeah. That, yeah, or they believe the scientist, and then they forget one thing, yeah. That the Lord Buddha, yeah. Maybe it is brazen to say, but he's the foremost scientist in the world, yeah, and there's nobody who can reach, yeah, they can't even come close to him. Yeah. It is like you stand at the foot of the Himalaya and the Lord Buddha is up there, you know, and they still stand there, you know, they don't know, yeah. Nobody can tell us, you know, nobody, you know, of the scientists can tell us why we are born as a black person or as a white person, or why we are born in this family, why we were born ugly, why we are born beautiful, you know, why we only have a life of 20 years and why other people live 110 years, yeah? They don't know, yeah? And they don't know about the previous life, they don't know about the next life, they don't know about this world, they don't know about the previous planet we have been on. Yeah? And they don't know anything about these. It's so little that they know. Yeah? It's not that I'd want to belittle science, because I mean it is useful for most of the people living in the world. Yeah, I mean you need science, you know, to build the skyscrapers, you know, or bridges or things like that. Yeah, and it's useful. Yeah. But now they want, you know, now they want to you know, to direct everything, you know, set everything, yeah. Just like in the, sometimes in our field, yeah? I mean, some of us have been scientists, yeah? Huh? I mean, we know, I mean, science lives from thesis and antithesis, yeah? So there's somebody, you know, you propose, you know, something, you know, and then somebody comes and criticizes you, oh, this was not correct and that was not correct. So we incorporated, and that's how science evolved, yeah? But nowadays, I mean, science is just science, you know, I mean, it's just like the dogma of the Christian church, you know, I mean, that said, that told us, you know, they told the people, you know, the earth is flat, yeah? And when Galileo came and said, no, the earth is round, I mean, what did they call him? Yeah? Yeah? Nowadays, they would call him what is it called? Quetzal? Yeah? They call him a conspiracy theorist, yeah? And now science has become the same dogma as the Christian church. There's only one science. Everything, you know, every scientist who is against it, you know, is a conspiracy theorist. I mean, without Galileo, you know, there wouldn't be any science. Yeah? And, I mean, what did the Lord Buddha know? He knew about, you know, the human. He knew about the human realm. He knew about the animal realm. He knew about the ghost realm, the demon realm, the hell realms, the heavenly realms, yeah? And science, do they believe in ghosts? No. Yeah? They say they don't exist because I cannot see it with my eyes, yeah? The Lord Buddha said, you know, if you want to see it, open your eyes. But not the outer eyes, but the inner eyes. And you see for yourself. Whatever I say, whatever I teach, you can see for yourself, you can experience for yourself, yeah? So we can experience, you know, about rebirth, we can experience, you know, about anything that we want, yeah? We can experience, you know, I mean, and all what we need to do is, you know, I mean, go and sit a little bit in samadhi, you know, chase away the thoughts, sit down, you're comfortable, you know, in cross-legged or half lotus or full lotus, yeah, and then focus the mind on the word Buddha, or focus the mind, you know, around the tip of the nose and know that the breath comes in and know that the breath goes out, yeah, and replace any thought and any memory that comes up, you know, with the word Buddha or with the attention on the breath. Yeah? Know the breath. And the more you know the breath, I mean, the more you know about the things that the Lord Buddha teaches. Yeah? And once there are no more thoughts and once there are no memories, you know, there is no past and there is no future. There is just this present moment. Yeah? And we are happy. I mean, all what we long for, you know, we find there. We are happy. Yeah? The moment we come out of samadhi, of course, the world arises again, you know. Our memories come back, our thoughts come back, you know, the self comes back, everything comes back, yeah. So when we want to have a rest from ourselves, you know, we just enter samadhi, yeah. And even if we want to know, you know, more about it, you know, I mean, we go even deeper, you know, until the body disappears, until this whole universe disappears, and we can experience, you know, a preview of nibbana, the eternity. And the eternity, what is in the eternity? Huh? I mean, there's past and future at the same time. And that's how we know. That's how the Lord Buddha knew. Yeah? He knew about the previous planets that we lived on. Hmm? He knew that this planet, you know, there were five Buddhas coming, five different civilizations. And what do we believe now? Science tells us there's only one civilization. Yeah. I mean, we don't know. Yeah. We don't know about the previous civilization. Yeah? The previous civilization, there was the sleeping prophet, you know, Edgar Cayce in the 1920s, you know, in America, you know, I mean, he could go into trance, you know, and he knew about Atlantis, he knew, you know, what happened in Atlantis, yeah. So that was the third civilization, and at that time, you know, in this third civilization, there was a Buddha as well. Hmm? How long did it last? I think it lasted 100,000 years, the third civilization. Yeah? And before that, there must be the second civilization. What do we know about it? Even Edgar Cayce couldn't go that deep. He said he knew only the name. Yeah? It was somewhere in the Pacific Ocean, a huge island. Yeah? There was a second. And we don't know anything about the first civilization. We don't know what. Yeah? But we assume, you know, because we don't find any relics from the second civilization, or from the first civilization, or from the, yeah, or from even the third civilization. We haven't found Atlantis, yeah. I mean, haven't found Lemuria, anything, you know, because things are in nature, you know, that they just disappear, yeah. So people, of course, believe, you know, because there is nothing, you know, I mean, this cannot exist, yeah. That's what our attitude is, eh? And I feel so sorry, you know, for the people who are born here in this country, you know, that has the perfect, you know, that has the true teaching of the Lord Buddha, yeah. And not, you know, and then starting to believe the reporter, starting to believe the radio or whatever is on the radio or whatever is on the TV, huh? Or believe in the scientist, yeah? And it tells us, yeah? I mean, we are born because of our karma. The Lord Buddha said it very clearly, yeah? And when the moment we are born, you know, there's a clock ticking. And each person or each being that is born in the human realm has a different time on his clock. And the moment the clock, you know, runs out of time, that's when we die. So there's only one cause of death, you know, and that is our end of karma, yeah? And then we go to another realm, yeah? I mean, depending on the karma that we acquired in this realm, yeah? And then we go to another realm, yeah? Be it the hell realm, or be it the ghost realm, be it the animal realm, or be it the heavenly realm, yeah? I mean, that depends all on our karma. It is just like, you know, I mean, we work for a year, we save a lot of money, and then we can go on holiday. Huh? Yeah, but when the money is gone, we have to come back, yeah, and to earn some more money, yeah. But if, you know, within this year we didn't save anything, you know, I mean, then we are really in dire straits, yeah. So, I mean, it is... Everything, you know, it is so similar. We just need to look and understand the world, how it works, and then we understand karma, yeah? I mean, the people who are rich, you know, I mean, where does it come from? The Lord Buddha gives us the clear answer. It comes from being generous in their previous life. That's why people are born in a rich family or become rich, you know? I mean, if they only started to become generous, you know, when at the age of 30, you know? I mean, then the first 30 years, you know, of their next life, you know, they will not be poor, but then they will not be rich, yeah? But then afterwards they become rich, yeah? I mean, it is so clear. Come on, yeah? I mean, this is the fundamental principle, yeah? I mean, in physics, you call it the cause, huh? Cause and effect, yeah? And whatever, you know, whatever our deeds are causing will have an effect. Whatever our words are causing, it will have effect, yeah? And this effect will come back to us, you know? Will haunt us, you know? Or sometimes, you know, let us enjoy it, yeah? If it's good karma, yeah? And the same thing, you know, it's the same thing for thoughts. They will come back. And we know that from our meditation practice, yeah? I mean, the more we have the same thought, the more the thought comes back, yeah? So, I mean, why can't we believe? Why can't we trust the Lord Buddha? He said, trust me, you know? I mean, but you don't have to believe me, yeah? I mean, see for yourself, you know? Go the path and see for yourself. And whoever, you know, whoever goes along the path, you know, sees for himself. I mean, there's no doubt, yeah? I mean, he said this planet, you know, what we call planet Earth, you know, is very fortunate. He will have five Buddhas, yeah? So there are five different civilizations, and in each civilization there will rise a Buddha, yeah? And the next Buddha, you know, he knew the name of the next Buddha, and he will be called Maitreya, the Buddha of loving kindness. He was the Buddha Gautama, yeah? And the previous, and he knew all the names, I forgot them, of the 24 Buddhas, you know, I mean, that came before him. Huh? And he knew that there are some planets, you know, where the human beings, where we were as human beings, yeah, where there was only one civilization, very, very short-lived planet, you know. There were other planets where we were before, yeah. And they had three civilizations, or two civilizations. And then he said, oh, this planet is really so fortunate. You know, it will have 5 civilizations and 5 Buddhas. Yeah. But people don't believe it. You know, science don't believe it. Huh? Science don't believe that we can go up in the air. Yeah. I mean, the British pilot, you know, in the Second World War, who saw, you know, Lumpuchop, floating, yeah, around at the same height of his airplane. I mean, he must have got a shock, yeah. But, you know, I mean, science, you know, disproves it. You know, it cannot be. Yeah? It can be. Yeah? I mean, there's an Achan, you know, a Kuba Achan, who is living very close by to us. You know? Now he's old, he doesn't display it anymore. But the people from Bangkok came and said, we don't believe that you can fly. Yeah? So he went up in the air to prove them. Yeah? Just like the Lord Buddha, you know, at the time, you know, when he was teaching, you know, the people didn't believe in hell and they didn't believe in heaven, yeah? So, on one day, and that was the 30th of May, yeah, he opened up the world for them to see, yeah? So the devas came out, you know, the devas came out so that people could see them, and he opened up the hell so they could see the suffering of the people down there in hell, yeah? I mean, people are so blinded, yeah? They don't believe what they can't see. Yeah? I mean, there was. I think it was towards the end of the 70s, yeah? And that exactly, you know. I mean, it is exactly, you know. I mean, postulates what we are seeing now. Yeah? I mean, the song was called "Blinded with Science," and that's what we are. We are completely blind, you know. We believe science is the only thing in this world. Yeah? It was quite a popular. It was, you know, it was a number one, you know, for quite a while. Yeah, it came from England. Yeah, and we are blinded. You know, I mean, the Lord Buddha didn't teach the people with a lot of sense in their eyes. You know, and nowadays, you know, I mean, fewer and fewer people have little sense in their eyes. Yeah, they believe. You know, they believe, and that is, it's such a pity. You know, and especially it's a pity. You know, people here in Thailand that they don't believe. And we came here, you know, we came here to hear the true teaching of the Lord Buddha, yeah? We are so fortunate, yeah? So we should make the utmost, yeah, of it, yeah? And not let go of it, yeah? Don't, you know, I mean, you have to bite, you know? You know the toucase, you know, you're the geckos, yeah? I mean, if they have something in their mouth, they don't let go. Yeah? If we grab the Dhamma and don't let it go, I mean, it will lead us, you know, to the end of dukkha. It will lead us to nibbana. We just can't let go, you know. I mean, no matter how much pain you inflict on the gecko, you know, I mean, he will not open his mouth where the food is in there. And our food is the Dhamma. Yeah? So we should not, you know, we should not let go of this Dhamma that is in our hands. Yeah? We don't know what is going to happen in the next life, yeah. If you say, oh, yeah, I mean, 2 years, it's enough, you know, being a monk, oh, it's so, let's hope next life, yeah. We don't know what is going to happen next life, yeah. Because, I mean, we don't know what kind of karma we still have in store, yeah. I mean, our store of karma is so huge, yeah. I mean, when we look at the water, whatever comes first that we take, you know, that is our karma, yeah. And then we might be thrown, you know, some of us might be thrown into heaven, yeah? Oh, it's so nice, you know, I mean, we forget everything, yeah? And then we come back as a human being, you know, and then, yeah, we still long for this heavenly, yeah? So we try to make, you know, heavenly life on earth, yeah? But then we see the dukkha, yeah? And the Lord Buddha said, you know, I mean, as a reminder, the human life, you know, is not only where we do a lot of bad karma or where we can do a lot of good karma. It is also this realm of existence where we most easily get out of the cycle of birth and death. Most easily. It doesn't say it is easy. Yeah? But it is much easier than in any other kind of realm. So we shouldn't waste our human birth. Now that we have come, you know, and found the true teaching, we shouldn't waste our human birth, you know, I mean, with this or with that, yeah? We should put all our attention, you know, grab hold of the Dhamma that we hear or that we feel or that we see, yeah, and don't let it go, yeah? Until the time, you know, of our death, if we have come to reach Sotapanna or if we have come to reach Nibbana, it doesn't really matter, but we should not let go, yeah? No matter what little Dhamma we have, you know, we should grab hold of it, yeah? And try to, yeah, to grab more of it and more of it and more of it, yeah? Ah, it's such a pity. But it's so amazing, you know, I find it so amazing, yeah? I mean, when you graduate as a master, you know, have a master degree, I mean, you had to defend your thesis. And there were sitting people, you know, from the same department who know pretty much as much as you. And some of them were criticizing, some of it, you know, were finding faults that you didn't find, yeah? I mean, that is the involvement of science, yeah? And if you have a doctorate, it is even worse, you know. I mean, lots of people, you know, come to your thesis, you know, when you had to defend. I mean, it's also called defending your thesis, yeah. So, I mean, why is it there only, you know, only one science, yeah? I mean, it has... What was it? Newton, you know, gravitation law, yeah? And then who came? Einstein, yeah? I mean, he challenged this, yeah? And he found new things, yeah? Or the beginning where, what did the Lord Buddha, you know, I mean, the Lord Buddha at the time, you know, 2,500 years ago, or now 2,560 years ago, I mean, he said the smallest building block of the universe, you know, is the atom. And when did they find the atom? 1920. I mean, Is there a greater scientist than the Lord Buddha? Yeah? I mean, he also knew, you know, I mean, he also knew that everything that exists within this universe is made of four elements, yeah? The water element, the fire element, the air element, and the earth element. Yeah? I mean, and he even described, you know, in the long sayings, in the Digha Nikaya, you know, he even described, you know, how humans first became humans, yeah? He said, you know, I mean, they were all devas, you know, they were all heavenly beings, you know. And then he said, you know, sometimes the earth became very milky, honey milk-like, you know. And then somebody, you know, tipped his finger in, you know. Oh, that is nice, you know. And then he wanted more. And the more he ate from this earth-like, you know, honey milk, you know, and the more he became earth-like, yeah. And then he was separating himself out more and more and more, you know, and then suddenly he became completely estranged from the devas, yeah? That's how humans, you know, evolved, yeah? Not coming from the monkeys. Yeah? But yeah, I think it still persists, you know, and they still try to find the link between the monkeys and the humans, yeah? Oh, what a pity, yeah? If they just would listen to the Lord Buddha, you know, he explains everything. Whatever somebody wants to know, I mean, he just has to dig up, you know, he just has to read the suttas, yeah? If some people want to know about the hell, you know, I mean, Lord Buddha didn't want to talk to the people about hell because he thought it's so devastating, you know, to know about this thing. But, you know, I mean, some people, you know, said, oh, please, please, please. So in the Majjhima Nikaya, in the middle length saying, so there are two suttas, you know, where he described hell, and it is not nice to read. Yeah. I think it is 148 or 149, something like that, yeah. The two suttas, yeah. If people are interested in, you know, how people are punished or how beings are punished in hell, then they should read it, yeah. Just because we can't see the beings in hell, it doesn't mean that they don't exist. Just because we can't see ghosts, that doesn't mean that they don't exist. Some people can see ghosts very clearly, yeah? And some people can see devas very clearly. I mean, they do exist, yeah? But we don't believe, you know, what our physical eyes don't see, we don't believe. Yeah? That is a pity. Yeah? And then we are just stuck like with the with the church, with the dogma of the church. Yeah. Huh? I mean, the Chinese knew all along, you know, that the earth was round. I mean, how long did the Chinese know? I mean, 2,000 years before the Christians, yeah? And because, I mean, they looked at the stars and they followed the movements of the things, you know, and they knew, yeah? That the earth was round, yeah? But if there is a dogma, no matter what kind of dogma, is it a religious dogma? They are just as bad, you know, as scientific dogmas, yeah? So take the time, you know. Huh? I mean, grab hold of the Dhamma that is in your mouth, yeah? And don't open the mouth, yeah? I mean, when you try to remove the food from a tukke, you really have to stem open his mouth, yeah? Because he doesn't react. If you beat him up, he doesn't react, you know? He doesn't let go the food, you know? But only if you stem up the mouth and take out the food then, yeah? That's the only way. And that's how we should be, yeah? We tasted the Dhamma and we don't let go, yeah? Just like the gecko tasted the food, you know, he doesn't let go, yeah? Until, you know, until the end of our life. In the next life, you know, I mean, we don't know what is going to happen to us, where we are ending up, yeah? Some of us might come back as a human being. Others, you know, go to heaven, yeah? I mean, becoming back as a human being in this time of age, you know, I mean, might be not the best choice, yeah? So we better wait, you know, in heaven until there's time ripe or until the next Buddha comes, you know, and then we have, you know, we have what they call it, Satsatlanlan, fresh bacon Dhamma, yeah, from the next Buddha. Lumta Mahapo used it very often. Satsatlanlan. It's coming fresh out of the heart, you know, it is not, you know, it's not stale bread or what. Yeah. And when we read, you know, that is the problem. When we read the sutta, it is stale. Yeah, I mean, it is. Yeah, I mean, it's just words. Yeah, when we hear the Dhamma, you know, that comes out of the heart. You know, when we listen to Lungta Mahabodha's talk, when it comes out of the heart, it directly goes into our. Doesn't even enter our brain. Yeah, and that is the best thing. Yeah, when you listen to the Dhamma, listen with the heart. You know, don't listen with your brain. Don't try to understand what he's saying, yeah? Because the heart is cleverer. Huh? The citta is cleverer. It understands everything, yeah? And sometimes, you know, when Thanachan gave a talk, you know, I mean, when he talked about something that you were working on at the moment, you know, I mean, the citta, you know, went around and around, you know, I mean, used his words, you know, used his instruction, you know, and tried to dig up, you know, what the problem was, yeah? And it's fantastic. It's a pity that we don't have these great teachers anymore. Okay, so that's enough for today, you know. I mean, now you can ask questions if you have any. Any? No? Well, then read the questions.
So this one's from
what?
The daughter of Sauling.
Ah. So, your daughter from Canada.
I have listened several times to your Dhamma talk given on September the 12th, how to properly investigate feelings.
Yeah.
And had two questions that arose from the topics talked about that day. So the first one, for somebody practicing body contemplation to the point that they see the internal organs clearly,
yeah.
Is this the same as developing a psychic ability to see without using our physical eyes, what some people might call the third eye?
I mean, I would call it just the inner eye, yeah? The sati. It is sati. It's not... I mean, whatever the people in the world call it, you know? I mean, it's just knowing, you know? It's just seeing with your inner eyes, yeah? I mean, the citta knows everything. It has gone through so many lives, yeah? Trillions of lives, you know? And it knows death, it knows the body, it knows everything, yeah? So I wouldn't call it psychic abilities, you know? I would call it knowingness, you know? The knowingness of the citta, you know? The sati sees, you know, sees very clear the organs. And once she sees very clearly organs, I mean, she has to separate them out, you know. She has to see, you know. I mean, she has to dissect them to see what they are made of, yeah. If she can dissect them in the four elements that I talked, you know, the talk before, you know, I mean, this is great, yeah. Because the next time she takes another organ and also dissects it and sees also, you know, they're also made out of the same element. And also, you know, I mean, it's just, yeah. And he says, there's nothing about the body, you know, that is so enticing. Yeah? Yeah? So the next question?
I understand that suicide creates bad karma. If you go into Apana Samadhi and decide to stay there until you die, is that different from suicide? And if so, why is the karma different?
First of all, you cannot do it. Because you will come out of Apana Samadhi, the latest you come out of Apana Samadhi after 7 days. By yourself, yeah. Well, you know, unless you are Narayana or you really, you know, and decide, you know, to kill yourself. But that is not, that you wouldn't call it suicide, yeah. Suicide is, you know, I mean, taking your own life. But, you know, I mean, suicide is the worst thing that you can do. The saying goes, you know, if you commit suicide, you know, the next 500 lives you will commit suicide automatically. The karma of suicide, yeah. Not only that you go to hell first, yeah, but then, you know, the next lives as a human being, you will. Because, why do we kill ourselves? Because we cannot cope with the problems, yeah? And we can't see, you know, we can't see an end, you know, we can't see a way out, you know, so we kill ourselves and think everything is good, yeah. And the next time, you know, I mean, you're born as a human being, you will see the same problems, yeah. Because the problems don't go away, you know, they manifest within yourself, yeah. Each time, you know, the same problem manifests, you know, you come back as a human being, yeah. It's just like, you know, you wake up from sleep and the problems of yesterday are still there, yeah. So you will kill yourself again and again and again. And it is said that, you know, 500 times. You don't want to do that. You don't want to go that road. Yeah. Just wait for the natural death to come.
What happened after the 500?
What happens, you know, when our karma is gone? What happens when our karma as a human being, yeah, is used up? Then we go to another realm, yeah? So when the karma is used up, when we did something very bad and go to hell, the moment that karma is used up, we come back. So that is the same thing, you know, with the karma of suicide, yeah? Once the karma is used up of killing yourself, these people will never kill themselves again, yeah? After the 500 times, yeah? Karma is used up, you know, and that is a good thing, you know. I mean, that's why we are not in hell forever, yeah. But also, you know, it's a bad thing for the beings in heaven. They're not there in heaven forever, huh? I mean, the Lord Buddha, you know, reminded Lord Sakya, you know, that he is not eternal. So he came with Moggallana, you know, and shook his palace, you know. Yeah? What happened? Yeah? You know, you're not eternal. Sooner or later, you will come back as a human being. And, yeah, I thought, he was born in Udontani, you know, about 20 years ago. And Lungda Mahabho, when the moment he saw him, come here, yeah. And he really took him under his, you know, wings, yeah. So, I mean, when the moment the karma is gone, you know, I mean, then you go a different, you know, then you have to use up a different kind of karma, yeah? And if it is the karma of hell, then you go to hell, yeah? And once the karma of hell, you know, this kind of karma of hell is gone, you know, then you come back, maybe as a ghost, or you go back up to heaven, you know, because you have another kind of karma. Because not, you know, there's different kinds of karma that leads you to different kinds of hell and different kinds of heaven, yeah? So you will have to use up this karma, yeah? And then after that you use up the next karma and there's no end to it, yeah? Because every moment we create new karma, yeah? So you better find a way out. Okay?
The second one, you answered already. So the next one, once we enter Upachara Samadhi and the feeling of the breath disappears, is it necessary to continue noting whether the breath is short, long, deep, shallow, smooth, coarse, etc.?
It is, when the breath disappears, it normally means, you know, and I don't know how often I say it, you know, normally means our interest in the breath disappears. But if the breath becomes more subtle, then it is important to know, yeah, until the knowing comes from the heart. That's how we install the knowing, you know, by mentally making a note, the breath is short, the breath is, you know, the breath is subtle, the breath is rough, you know, and whatever, yeah. So, I mean, put more attention, you know, I mean, my advice, put more attention on the breath and know, yeah? And from the labeling, you know, from the labeling, once you know it, yeah, you don't have to label anymore, yeah? The labeling in the beginning is just a crutch, you know, to get to this knowing, yeah? To incite that the knowing comes up or that you realize this knowing. Once you know that the breath is long, once you know that the breath is short, of course then you don't have to note it anymore. Yeah? That would be counterproductive. Okay?
I want to develop samadhi. So I wanted to ask, is it possible to develop samadhi with 2 weeks of intensive training, like 16 hours or 14 hours daily practice?
That depends on your karma. Yes, it can be. I mean, I've seen people, you know, I mean, going into Upachara Samadhi within 10 days, yeah? And they have never practiced Samadhi before, yeah? I mean, if they are taught correctly, you know, I mean, and if they just latch on, you know, like this gecko latch on his foot, you know, he's not interested in anything else than the breath or the Buddha, you know, I mean, he has to reach Samadhi, yeah? And a woman, you know, actually, you know, when she left, you know, after 3 weeks, you know, I mean, she reached Apana Samadhi by herself, yeah? So, I mean, it is possible, but, you know, it depends, you know, it depends on 2 things, you know, on our effort in our practice, you know, but it also depends on our ability, you know, from previous lives, yeah? Not everybody is the same, you know? Okay? So, any more questions? So, then make the best out of it, yeah? Use the time, you know? I mean, it's coming close to the end of the pansa, yeah? But there won't be so much work. I haven't thought about anything yet. And most of the work, anyway, the workers are doing for us. Yeah? The only work that we have is to repair. This breaks down, that breaks down, you know, we constantly repair things. Yeah? Okay, sir? You should ask your daughter to come.
I have told her already.
Yeah?
I don't think
she's
ready yet. She's
very
much attached to the world. Very, very much.
Yeah. That's why we are here in this world, because we're attached to this world, yeah? And that's why we have these problems, because we want the world to be otherwise than we exist.